In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Queen of Martyrs, Saint Joseph, Saint Maximilian Mary Kolbe, our patron saints and guardian angels. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Maximilian Kolbe, the great saint that we celebrate today, and especially our spiritual father in many ways as the ideal about which all Franciscans of the Immaculate want to imitate, was, when he was canonized by Pope John Paul II, was referred to as, by the Pope, as the apostle of our difficult age. And Pope John Paul II recommended him as a model to the faithful, to look to him as one who would also be a key to helping us how to understand and to live in this difficult age in which we live in. Obviously, Pope John Paul II was referring to the culture of death that is so prevalent in our society today, and that St. Maximilian Kolbe, the saint of Auschwitz, that icon of the culture of death, really. Auschwitz is an icon of our modern culture in many ways. The anti-life, the great lack of hope that was so fostered by Auschwitz. You know, Auschwitz wasn't just a place where they wanted you to die a miserable death. They wanted you to die without hope. As a matter of fact, even before Jews were ever brought to Auschwitz, the saying was that the Nazi guards had a whole introductory welcome that they would give to the prisoners. And the welcome was something like, "Welcome to Auschwitz. If you are a priest, don't expect to live longer than, you know, such and such a time. If you're this, you're going to live this long. And if you don't like it now, throw yourselves on the electric fence now." That was their welcome that they got when they went to Auschwitz. And obviously it was a place of great despair. And that's one of the things that Auschwitz wanted to rob man, not just of his physical life, but to really destroy him spiritually. It was really a place crafted in the mind of the devil himself. And we can see that this culture of death is so prevalent in our society that fosters a lack of the respect for life, for personhood, fosters this lack of hope that is so prevalent in our society today with the increase in suicides and no real thought about what lies beyond the grave. So St. Maximilian is really our model and our guide to how to confront this culture of death. How did he confront it? Well, first and foremost, he confronted it by giving himself totally to Our Lady. Consecrating himself totally to Our Lady was a way in which she who is our hope, we pray that every day, and we say the Hail Holy Queen, our life, our hope, our sweetness, that she is the one who helps bring life into a place that is full of death, because she brings Christ with her. So that was the first thing he did. He gave himself totally to her because he knew that with Our Lady he would not fail. He even said to his brothers, if you want to be successful in something, interest Our Lady in it. If you want to be successful in your life, in following Christ, interest Our Lady in your life by placing yourself under her care. And that was the first thing he did, so that she could crush the head of Satan in his own life and in those around him, as she would use him as an instrument to do so. The second thing he did is he confronted the culture of death around him by speaking the truth. You know, he had a publication, and he tried to use every means he could to evangelize, to bring this message of life and salvation to as many souls as possible. He was not bashful. St. Maximilian Kolbe, that's the thing that got him arrested, because he asked the Nazis if he could print one more time, before they took away his printing press, as if he could print one last newsletter. And they said, okay, go ahead, not knowing that he'd use that last newsletter to blast the evils of Nazism. And because he did that, he was arrested and taken to Auschwitz. And so he wasn't afraid to speak the truth, whether it was popular or not. And then, you know, the thing that really was the key to his success and to his evangelization was his understanding of obedience to legitimate commands. And that first and foremost, we heard in the book of Ezekiel today, obedience to God's law. There's great power in that. Ezekiel is saying, if a man is virtuous, if he does what is right and just, if he does not eat on the mountains, or nor raise his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, all these things, if he doesn't follow evil, and if he stays and faithful to God, he will be successful. He will be victorious, because God will sustain him. God will assist him. And he will make sure that his enemies will not triumph over him. Even if his enemies should take his life, as they did St. Maximin Kolbe, and those who are faithful to Christ, they cannot take away your salvation. They cannot overcome you. As St. Paul, you know, said, if God is for us, who can be against us? And so being righteous, living a good and virtuous life, that is something that everyone can do, even a small child. That when we do good, when we follow Christ and his commandments, we are powerful in the eyes of God. We have a power that makes all of hell tremble. So living a good and virtuous life, keeping his commandments, that is where we can help, first and foremost, transform our society. Because goodness attracts. Goodness attracts beauty, which is part of goodness. And not this false understanding of beauty that thinks that you just smear enough makeup on your face that that's going to make you beautiful. No, beauty is a part of virtue. Beauty is a part of being good. That will attract people to the good and live the good. And even St. Maximin Kolbe said, love alone can create evil. Only thing that evil knows or hatred knows is how to destroy. So that is what he said to one of the prisoners in Auschwitz when St. Maximin Kolbe was beaten unmercilessly by one of the capos because he wouldn't do something or he dropped something and he was so weak from tuberculosis. You know, here's a man at Auschwitz who had only one half of one lung, who could probably hardly have enough energy when he was in the regular normal world to be able to do any kind of physical labor. And here he was in Auschwitz, where he was given meager food to eat, was given hardly anything to sustain his health, and was worked doing hard labor. And he should have died after being there only 2 days. But he lived and worked. And when he was beaten severely by a capo, someone said, one of the prisoners said to him, oh, you should fight back. You should, you know, you shouldn't take this. And he said to him, love alone creates. Hatred only knows how to destroy, you know. And so his way of responding, because he knew that that's what made him really more powerful than those around him who were filled with hate, and that is he had the love of Christ in him. So really, even though he was one of the inmates, St. Maximin Kolbe was really in charge. And he had no fear of what they could do to him, because he knew that if they took his life, they would be doing him a favor. And so the capos and those guards really were kind of afraid of St. Maximin Kolbe, because he was unlike many of the other prisoners. He would not, you know, succumb to their threats and their evil behavior. And we see that very clearly on the day when he gave his life for another man, that he just calmly broke ranks and walked up to the capo, or up to the commandant. And no one had that kind of courage. No one would ever have thought of breaking ranks when they were standing at attention with the Nazi guards and the evil capos who were deranged mental patients who they made the officers of the concentration camp and the ones who were to make sure the men did their work. He just walked right up to him very calmly and serenely and said, I want to take this man's place. And Commandant Fritsch said, who are you? He said, I am a Catholic priest. I wish to take this man's place. And so with such calmness, it kind of disarmed even the evil Commandant Fritsch, who for a moment didn't know what to say. Finally, he did make the switch and allowed St. Maximilian Kolbe to take the place of Franciszek Gajewniczyk. But, you know, that's the kind of courage that only can come from being in the state of grace. That's the only kind of heroic love that Our Lady fosters in us, you know, the kind of heroic love that allowed Our Lady to stand at the foot of the cross, not swoon or act like she was going to pass out from pain and sorrow, but she stood faithfully, offering her Son for our salvation. And St. Maximilian Kolbe stood faithfully with Our Lady and with those other brothers who he saw were going to be suffering terribly, and he wanted to see to that they would have a priest to help them die a holy death. Today, as we look to St. Maximilian Kolbe, we see that, you know, he gives us many insights into how to confront the culture of death. And even Pope John Paul II, when he canonized St. Maximilian a martyr, did so kind of out of character, you might say, because many people before the canonization, you know, we see red and white here. Red and white is associated with St. Maximilian because as a young boy, when his mother asked him, Raymond, what will become of you? He went to Our Lady's image and he prayed and asked Our Lady, what will become of me? And Our Lady appeared holding out a red and a white crown and said that if you know, the red will symbolize that you will die a martyr and a white crown will symbolize that you will live a pure life and that you will die pure. And she asked him, what crown will you take? Which do you accept? And he said, I take both. And in his beatification, when Pope Paul VI beatified him, he beatified him as a confessor. So when he was beatified, the Pope wore white. But when St. Maximilian Kolbe was up for canonization, people were saying, couldn't he be considered a martyr for the faith because he gave his life, he laid down his life for the love of another man? Couldn't that be, in one sense, also a type of martyrdom? And so when they laid out the vestments for Pope John Paul II, they put the white and they put the red. And so when the people were surprised that when Pope John Paul II came out, he was wearing the red to symbolize that he had made that decision kind of on the spur of the moment at the last minute that he would canonize him as a martyr for charity, which of course is the ultimate reason why we have faith. It is to practice charity. And in a culture of death, and in a place of death, St. Maximilian Kolbe was that symbol and icon of charity, that he laid down his life for the love of another man, but most importantly, for love of Christ, that Christ would do the same. He would lay down his life for us. And St. Maximilian Kolbe, being a faithful son of St. Francis, truly took that absorbiat prayer that we say many times after Mass, took it to heart, truly lived it out, that seraphic love. He wanted to die for love of Christ's love, who died for love of us. And that is truly, you might say, the epitome and ultimate sacrifice and the ultimate sign of our love for God and neighbor. Let us ask Our Lady in a special way to help us today, as so many of our brothers and sisters in the faith are being persecuted and are even laying down their lives, that they not falter, that they not succumb to the evil that attacks them or oppresses them, but they truly may, by their heroic love and sacrifice, obtain the conversion of their persecutors. And that truly, you know, that those of us who are not experiencing that persecution, that we will pray for them and assist them by our prayers, because someday it may come to our neighborhoods, and that we too will have that charity and that courage, that heroic love, to give witness to Christ and to our brothers and sisters, that we are faithful to Him until the end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.